Oh, she always been
Fire
messy.
For the Course. Yes, I love it. Let's do it.
I'm a messy bitch that lives for drama.
All right. Crap, I'm trying to find a link again.
I mean, everything she said outside the angel stuff was like, yeah.
I'm a woman that do that shit, though. That's not a surprise.
I've not even started the podcast yet, hoes. Can I get the introduction in, please? No. Por favore. No,
So was she saying that she cheated? Oh, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
They did gonna kick your ass.
JP, you did that on purpose. I don't know why you messing with me. What have I ever done to you? I've been nothing but a friend to you. And this is how you treat me.
Oh.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. Have you, JP, do you got wine? Is that what it is? Who gave you wine?
No, this is hot chocolate.
Sure. Uh-huh. With a splash of what?
With a splash of
hot chocolate I've ever seen.
Splash of rum chatter.
No, it's just good, hot though. Chocolate.
If it wasn't so hot,
it is. I actually was making hot chocolate with rum chatter. It was delicious.
That sounds real good. Anyway, sorry, we were supposed to be doing a podcast. So, hello. Welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee, and I'm here with Melissa, Storm, Jamie, Maria, and JP. And today we're here to talk about messy shit, actually. We're here to talk about some mess. First of all, though, how are you ladies doing? Let's do a little check-in and make sure y'all are cool.
I can't wait to witness this mess because then I don't have to think about my own mess. So, yay.
Okay. That's okay. So here's the thing. I love mess. Anytime there's drama happening, I want to know what's going on. Not because I want to tell everybody about the drama that's going on. Not because I want to share your secrets. It's really because it's nice to know that other people have messy lives and it's not just me. So I can just be like, oh, okay. This ain't that weird. Everybody's a mess. All right. Cool.
See, you know what? That is the logic and the reasoning and the power behind Bravo. Because I feel like it goes definitely for Bravo and for Love and the Hip Hops on the VH1.
The Love and the Hip Hops on the VH1?
Oh my God, why do you sound like a whole grandma right now?
That's why I watch 90 Day Fiancé. I want to see all of the mess.
Melissa has
no matter
always
how
sounded like
bad
a
your dude is, he's never going to be as bad as Peter Guns.
That's really a, you know, the more you know.
Right. So feel a little better. Like, at least you didn't fuck Peter Guns. At least you don't have one of his kids.
And at least if you know, if he's worse than Peter Guns, then you have a problem and a situation that you need to take care of very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to get a friend that tells you stuff like, you know, at the end of the day, what really matters and is the bullshit. But
is the bullshit. Okay.
So we...
All right. Well, we are already in the mess. So we are recording this on Friday, April 30th, 2021. And apparently today we got some hot off the presses drama. Specifically,
hot off the presses messes.
Hot off the presses messes.
Yes.
Regarding a Miss Janet Mock.
Ooh, she is going through some shit right now. So apparently, at her premiere party, she had a very interesting speech.
Yeah, so they had a premiere party for Pose. Yes. The rumor is that she was a little bit drunk when she was giving this speech, but she was giving a speech about Pose and how she was upset with the industry and how she was upset with Hollywood with the way Pose as a show was treated, which all that fine and dandy. You probably shouldn't have that argument Hollywood industry people don't like it when you talk bad about them, especially at premiere parties, but like,
especially to their face,
right? But at the same time, like, those are valid concerns. But then the speech took a hard left when she admitted that she was cheating on her current partner, Angel, who is on the show. She cheated on Angel with another member of the crew.
What? Wait, I didn't. Okay, I misread that part. Hold on.
They just said crew, they didn't say cast.
Yeah, not cast. Crew. They just said crew. So crew encompasses anybody on anybody.
Anybody who's not on screen.
Wait, Jamie got something.
Well, no, it was just that I just assumed it was someone outside of the show, but I misread the crew part. I thought it was still referring to Angel, but no, it's
not. Nah, okay. It said the crew, but what'd you what were you going to say, Jamie?
So I have concerns. One, Janet is pushing 40. Her boyfriend just turned 25?
Oh, no.
Dating for a little bit now.
The math checks out. According to the math, you take your age, divide by two.
Nope, that's nope.
And add 5 to 7 years. So the math checks out.
Nope.
I don't want to say this because I hate this term, but midlife crisis.
There's also like some funky power dynamics involved.
Yeah.
Fresh off a divorce when she got with dude. And the optics just look really bad.
It's also super bad.
I wonder, because if we're publicly copping to bad behavior, that means that there's other behavior that we aren't copping to that we've done privately.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, the whole episode where she's, you know, asking him to stand up while she says all this stuff about,
right, she didn't just about what she did. She gave us an R&B song. I am not going home alone.
That was really...
And that has to be, I can't even imagine what was going through his head. Like, that is just,
how do you can hear a pin drop in that room?
This is the most romantic shit.
Well, and no, so like,
it is the most unromantic shit ever.
It's manipulative.
Yeah.
Well, so here, so we can finish the story. Basically, what happened was she's having the speech. In the speech, she actually admits that she was cheating on Angel with a member of the crew, and that she was actually thinking about breaking up with Angel that night of the premiere party, right?
And you fucking
was dramatic as hell.
Right, but then decided that wasn't going to be the thing that she was going to do. Now, all of those points you brought up, that you guys brought up, excellent points, great points. Age difference, weird. Power dynamic, weird. My thing is, the part of the speech where she goes, I was going to give you up, but no, we're going to stay together, that... You gotta be drunk as fuck to say that, because there's no way. And maybe Angel is more forgiving than most people. You know what? Maybe Angel is very forgiving, but like, you can't just decide that we're gonna stay together after you just cheated on each other.
Like, we don't know if she said that she was gonna break up with him tonight, but we don't know if he was like, okay, I'm kind of low key done with you, like.
Not even that. You literally just told me that you cheated on me in a room full of people at our job. Mm-hmm. Like, at our job.
Oh, and they're going to say, we're not going to break up? Oh.
I know what I want now, and I want you.
Don't do that. Like, don't embarrass me in public.
I'm trying to remember, like, from her first divorce, was it infidelity as well?
So that first divorce was very quiet.
It was very quiet. We don't know what happened, but when we it's kind of like the Taika Waititi situation. It was all of a sudden you were with somebody else and we were like, wait a minute, weren't you married?
Right.
I think they did say something about there being infidelity. I can't remember if it was on her part though or his part.
Well, there's a pattern, so it probably was most likely on her part.
Or no, it could have been on his part and she was like, I'm not gonna let no nigga get me like the last one got me, and then she started acting out, but
I'm gonna get
that's
mine.
True. Yeah, that's true too. I'm gonna act out first before they act out on me or some shit like
my
that.
My favorite part of the whole thing though was that she started his part, Angel's part, with let me tell you about love. You bitch. Not only did I'm telling you, she gave us theatrics, and I'm just like, listen,
I feel like, and maybe this is I'm going to hell. She gave us Tyrese. She gave us a Tyrese level meltdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been shaving some privates on Instagram.
This is a too much information. Cause
right.
What did Tyrese, and why would you do that with people in your house?
Sorry. Okay. Continue.
What did Tyrese do on one of the verses that everybody was like, sir, I need you to calm down?
Oh shit, I can't remember.
I think he was talking about like something about his parents, and it was like
my mom was a raging alcoholic, but she loved this song. Yeah. Okay, but we didn't need that first part.
right. We really did it.
What in the Sean King are you doing?
Like, we were oversharing like a motherfucker. It's like,
Tyrese, do you need a friend? Do you need someone to make a call to you? Because you are sharing a little bit too much. Like, it's a call for help.
There are things in this speech that Janet was saying that I was like, okay, I get it. She was like, I'm only making what was like 40,000 episode or whatever, which I mean, sounds great to me, but like,
yeah, well, but that's sure everybody else.
Different, right.
Poor. Sure, but different. She was the producer on the show, so she should have been getting more money.
So I was like, yeah, okay. And then she was also talking about, you know, how, you know, transgender women have been treated and not given, you know, the props by not only the show, but Hollywood as well. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you got my support on that. Until she made Angel stand up in front of everybody.
Yeah,
see, that's...
It turned left real quick. Because she this is what I hate, because she was so right on that first part. Because honestly, Pose was such a big, huge show that she should immediately got a huge bump in pay.
A lot of people probably should have been paid, especially... I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that probably all of the trans actors and her and basically anybody, probably any of the queer people in general. Well, no, probably not any of the, because Ryan Murphy probably got paid a shit ton.
And I'm sure Billy Porter is fine.
Billy Porter, let's say,
queer people of color, because Ryan Murphy.
Not because, again, Billy Porter is probably doing fine. I'm going to say specifically the trans people, they probably were not getting paid as much as they should have gotten paid.
And they haven't been getting the recognition from the industry.
Well, yeah, no. We've been seeing that for the past, what, how long has Pose been on the air? 5 years?
Yeah.
4 years?
Oh, right.
The only, you know, like, really pretty much the only person getting that kind of industry, and I'm sorry, that kind of recognition from the show is Billy.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And Billy, because Billy also, let's...
He has not been gracious about it.
Let's be honest, we are very comfortable playing the role.
Yep.
I love Billy, but...
I know. But...
Like, I used to, and then he opened his mouth, and it was like, there it goes. There
he's making me side eye real hard.
He did this interview with Deezy Zamiro, saying that he wants to take up the role that Sylvester from the greatest hit of You Make Me Feel, Mighty Real. Like, as a gender fluid film, Black prison email. And I'm like, Alex Newall is fluid and right there and is doing disco. Like, I don't know that you're the next person. Like, I don't know that's, and I felt rude for thinking it, but then I was like, also, just listen to the song Kill the Lights and Billy can stick to acting, because I did see, what was that weird thing he did? I think it was for the Grammys. It was like an original song.
I don't know, because I probably didn't watch the Grammys, because I'm done with awards.
I also have not. I've not been into award shows lately, to be quite honest.
No.
That's just me being. But Billy Porter reminds me.
You.
Billy Porter reminds me of RuPaul in that way of, I got mine, so fuck everybody else.
And Ru is loud and proud on that shit.
There's a side on RuPaul that I want to get into, but we could do that after this conversation
another time. But yes, but RuPaul, I know JP, you also watch. I think, are we probably the only two on here that still watch RuPaul's?
Yeah. Here's the thing, all of my queer friends love RuPaul's Drag Race, and like, I watched the first couple seasons, but then after, the more that I learned about Ru, the more I was like, actually, the more that I learned and the more that I remembered about Ru, I was like, you know what, maybe I just don't want to do this. Yeah. Y'all can have your fun.
Right.
But Ru... I can't get into it because of RuPaul, his politics. And like, when I, like, it's like, for me, watching folks or sort of watching the feedback of fans, this seems painful. It reminds me of like the Doctor Who fandom all over again. Like, if this is riddled with like colorism and other isms.
Rue, since we seem to be getting into it, let's get into it. So, yeah, I still watch Drag Race. Like, because, like, there's part of me that wants to support, like, the queens that are unfortunate enough to get on that show, have to deal with her.
Right.
And then the second part, I just wanted to chuck the show in the sun because of RuPaul. But I find it interesting, and I think because, so spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Drag Race this season, like Simone won. And I find it interesting that, and I think the reason why she was like, Simone wasn't kicked off the show earlier because there was no way you can kick her off. Because she, in her drag, demonstrated Black culture so lovingly that I was
Rue was mad.
yeah. She couldn't do shit because her fashion, her comedy, everything was so on point. And like everything, because RuPaul was like, oh yeah, you know, you demonstrate like Black culture. And I'm like, this is probably killing her right now because she probably don't know anything that Simone is doing right now.
No, here's the thing. So, she does, but she 100% does. But the problem with Rue is,
she's divorced from Black culture.
Right. Rue is very much one of the queer people that thinks all Black people hate queer people.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, if we're being honest, most of Rue's friends when Rue was coming up as a queer person were white queer. So I think she internalized a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, I'm losing this by her persona, but the fact that she defended Shirley Kugler.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening.
I think that's when I was officially I can't do this.
Did y'all also bring up the fracking or no?
Listen, what that man does on his land
is nature's business. You don't need to be fracking nothing.
No, we don't know that that's him and not his husband.
His name is on that. Like his name, there's no denying that.
Oh, I'm done. That was all I had. The husband, really blaming the husband was really my Hail Mary. I didn't have anything after that. So we're good here.
No, like he's a walking All Lives Matter, you know, poster. So like
He also is very much All Lives Matter-y.
I don't forget the episode of RuPaul's Drag Race when they were doing Herstory. And he tried to say that part of the reason that Stonewall happened was because everybody was so mad about Judy Garland dying.
Yeah. Yeah, that I was just like, man, ugh.
I don't even make sense.
It doesn't. They got tired of being
like
harassed by police. Like,
no, it was an outpouring and an outcry because Judy Garland had died.
Okay, so you know, here's the thing. Because you know how sometimes we'll have jokes where we'll be like, oh, we're dealing with all this oppression. And on top of that, Chadwick died. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like. Did Rue not, maybe somebody said that and Rue thought that was the truth and didn't think that it was the moment of levity that somebody was reaching. I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I
don't know, girl.
And then. Her RuPaul saying that just brings back the fact her problematic issues around trans women. You know, because Stonewall, the riot started because trans women were being harassed by police and they had enough. But Judy Garland.
I mean, okay, whatever, Rue. If you like it, I love it. You go ahead and believe what you want to believe. There's nothing I can do about it anymore. Just
right.
I don't know what to say to that. But anyway, y'all, I'm just can we be, please? I'm gonna say specifically to the Black queer community, be a little less messy, please. Because now I gotta explain to all the straight people what the hell is going on. When straight people know, straight people have a whole lot of mess, but they want to act like it's specifically us. And I gotta be like, no, well, I'm just kidding. Do whatever you want, queer people. I'm not blaming you for your for society's problems. Fuck it. But if you're gonna have mess, let me know. I want to hear about it.
I'm kind of the opposite of you right now. Queers, let us continue to be messy. Let us continue to put the sunshine on my timeline. I want to know all about it. Who you cheating? You know, how many times you announce it in a room full of people? All that shit.
How many people were in said room? How many people did you embarrass in that moment? I need to know the details. Type of
liquor that you drank before you did this?
Was it Crown? Was it Hennessy? Was it gin?
Go on to make it a brand. Do the commercials. Get
Moscato, a messy Moscato.
June is almost here.
Ooh, a Moscato, bitch. Oh, okay, wait. Don't nobody take Moscato, because I'm gonna make a wine and I'm calling it Moscato. Don't fucking do it, you guys. Don't take it.
This is her copyright.
A copyright.
Right.
Can you put the buy flag on the bottle of the wine? Because it's
It's gonna be
we have a beer disaster, beer sexual.
It's gonna yes.
You know what?
I'm coming up with queer
makers. Your first celebrity that can be your brand ambassador is Janet Mock. Because now I'm thinking she must have been wine drunk. Because there's a special type of drunk on wine where you start saying shit that you shouldn't.
Yeah, that does feel like an emotional wine drunk. You're right.
And she thinks that her career is over. I don't. She was like, this may end my career. Girl, no, it won't.
It might, because...
Are we sure? Because first of all, okay, like, it's all of the, you know, embarrassing, you know, TMI aside, old girl barked super hard at Ryan Murphy. And Ryan Murphy, unfortunately, still has a considerable amount of pull in this industry.
But I feel like
because Lord knows he can't carry
Here's the thing. Ryan Murphy is doing a lot better than what's his face from Empire did, because at least Murphy understood that, hey, this is a story that I want to tell. I'm gonna let the people who know how to tell it.
And while, you know, definitely appreciate that, and we have come a significant way from where we were, because Glee was very much a shit show.
Oh my God.
My man still has an obsession with white boys who all look alike, and
it's the same white boy. It's what's his face.
It's really just the same white dude.
It's what's his face that's in every season of American Horror Story.
It's like facsimiles of Darren Criss. Like, that's what we have.
Oh, leave Darren Criss alone. He's doing his best.
Yay! Right. I mean,
he's half Filipino.
I mean, and yay diversity.
Ha! He is a diversity.
Yes. And diversity is me.
And diversity is me.
I'm
so wild. Ryan Murphy has come a long way.
Long, long way.
Like, it's you know, it's kind of like Lil Wayne's, you know, lyricism. Like, you know, when you start off with it.
Now, you see, first of all, can you please, there's a lot to make fun of Lil Wayne for. You leave him and his rapping alone.
I will not.
Yes.
No.
He's lyrical genius, and it's rude of you to imply otherwise.
I will forever ask for the smoke off of, you know, that line. I want to throw up like chips in Vegas. Like, no, you put that down.
I can't be mad at that, because Ludacris gave us a filler up balloons. Everybody has bad lyrics. Now, you can't bring it 100% all of the time.
Sometimes you need a break. I will give Ludacris, I will let him slide on that.
Filler up balloons. Oh my God.
I too would let him slide on that.
Just at least, okay, fine, but just give me 80.
Ludacris is like my height. You might not want to do that, Storm. I don't know if you're down for short kings, but
I have no problem with that.
Well, then there you go. Oh yeah, y'all did. What, y'all were in love with Bruno Mars?
Like, he's a pocket boy.
I'm like, look, I will put that little, look, he might be my size.
I will put him in my pocket,
and that will be perfect for me.
Like, hey, buddy.
And take him out whenever I need assistance.
Okay, now how about rap? Like, okay, how about rap? There you go.
How about, you know what? Don't make us sing the song, Jamie.
No, don't do it. Don't.
Just then behave, ma'am. Behave.
Behave.
No, like I feel like that said, Janet. I'm sure has ruffled some feathers in the industry, and it'll be really, really interesting to see what happens next. Because, like I said, I feel like once you come after folks like Ryan, who is problematic, like that could be the kiss of death. So
I feel like there's gonna be a book, though. Like there's at least gonna be a book.
I mean, like if we have gone full scorched earth, which it seems like we did.
Yeah.
Or like we had to cancel our Good Morning America appearance, then you know maybe this is her exit strategy. Like fuck it, I don't even give a fuck anymore here. Like I mean, she's underpaid as is. So like you know she made the segue from magazines to you know
television
television and you know was still kind of getting lowballed and
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, folks can definitely find, you know, sympathy in that, particularly, you know, Black and brown folks in the industry. But like, then on top of that, you cop to shitty behavior towards others and you were cheating on your man, another man, and that, and your boyfriend is still significantly younger. So again, going back.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that much.
Somebody in the crew that is technically probably under you. This is horrible, Jen.
Like, girl, don't you do it. What are you doing? So, I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see, like, what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. But hopefully Angel has exited that relationship and is going to go on to be happier. Hopefully it doesn't ruin Janet Mock's career because like we still
get to come back from bullshit all the time.
Well, and it's not even that because like I feel like that's a very, very like I feel like that's very feminism/queer/black studies 101 is white people get away with that kind of stuff all the time.
Yep.
It's not that they get away with it,
they get to come back.
No, but I'm saying it's this desire to have that representation, but also there's a gang of other trans people and other trans people of color who could have a space where she might be vacated. So instead of hoping that she comes back, my hope is that if she's not going to come back, somebody is given that chance and it's not just replaced by another white dude.
The way the industry operates and groups everybody together, I don't know if that would be the case. I think she would need to be there to be able to get those new folks in there.
Yeah, but like my thing is it's the same thing like the whole thing with Jamie Broadnax. What's the point of bringing her in there if all she's going to do is abuse the people like her trying to also be there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jamie Broadnax, they're raw folks.
Well, but like I'm saying, like with the way that we're seeing Janet Mock operate, because this is very abusive behavior. This is manipulative Angel, behavior. Yeah. So I don't think that she's not going to manipulate any new trans writers or new trans people in the industry trying to work there. And I'm not saying cancel her. I'm saying be cautious.
Yeah, right. I mean, because she has the support of Dominique in India.
So we'll see. I don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah, sure. But like, they could be the people that were not.
Also, India has a lot of her own problems.
Right. You know.
I was about to say.
Because,
there is some mess in their area.
Gosh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that the stuff with India is a lot. The stuff with India is a lot. Like I was so disappointed, and also.
So for people who don't know about the India,
Okay. So basically, India Moore started dating this guy. This guy has a history of sexual assault.
Yep.
And when the women came out about the sexual assault.
Yep.
India was like, that's not true, and is continuing, and along with her boyfriend. Are they married now?
I'm not sure.
I just when they got married, but basically they're suing these women for slander. For slandering her boyfriend for saying that he has sexually assaulted him.
I'm gonna name names because I believe in naming names. His name is Malcolm London. He's an activist here.
When you say here, you mean?
In Chicago, sorry. He's been in activist circles for a little over a decade, I wanna say. And there's more than one allegation against him. Folks tried, some of the victims tried restorative justice to address the issue, and apparently that shit went all the way left.
Mm-hmm.
And he has still shown no remorse for his actions.
Mm-hmm. None whatsoever. So, yeah. Again, it's that thing where it's like, okay, I want these people to be successful, or I want to see more trans people being successful, but I also don't want abusive people to be successful. Exactly. So can we get the people that aren't abusive? But alas.
Right.
Anyway, moving on. So for the past 6 weeks, however many weeks, no, it's because it ended last week, so technically it's 7 weeks. I don't know. I don't care. Nigga Bird and the Snowman, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's over. It's done. I feel like I am the only Black person on the internet that cannot stand this fucking show.
You're not, because all of us are here.
Wait, hold on. Don't put me in this group.
Yeah, JP liked it. I only liked one episode.
I said it had one good episode. And look, my expectation was already low. So.
Yeah, I made a mistake. That was on me.
I had super low expectations for the show. I was like, look, as long as there's some fucking fighting, you know, some good battle scenes, then okay, fine. It's they got to see for me. So, they probably would have, you know, I gave it like maybe a D+, maybe C minus, because that last episode was fucking a mess.
Oh God.
So like.
Hey, I just want to say, and see, the episode JP didn't like is the episode that D did like.
No. I did not like the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Episode 6. Okay. I liked episode 5.
Episode 5 was the good
because
episode.
In episode 5, Isaiah was telling Sam, basically the thing I've been saying the entire time is stop acting like you don't know what racism is, nigga. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
All right, sorry to cut you off.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
That's the episode I liked too. So I felt like the writing was better in that episode.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I just want to say that I feel vindicated in calling this like Lethal Weapon with superpowers, because apparently that was the aim of the show.
No, because Lethal Weapon was actually funny.
Okay, listen here. I didn't say it was exactly like Lethal Weapon. I just said like it was Lethal Weapon with superpowers and capes. That's all I said. I didn't say it was a good version. I just said it was a version.
I mean, okay. I would like to give my flowers to
your roses.
You know, my roses to Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, because the shit that they had to actually use, the writing.
They acted so hard. They tried to
actually
everybody on the show acted very hard to try and make it work.
They had to work with what they had, and bless their hearts. I just, again, when the bar was set so high, I didn't expect it to, you know, like meet that bar. But I did expect it to be something more than this.
See, my bar was so low that, like, honestly, if it were just credits, it would have went over.
Like, I love the end sequence. Mwah, it's great. Like, I love
it. Great. It was gorgeous.
Right.
I knew, like, come on, like, compared to WandaVision, I already knew that show was not going to be on the same caliber as WandaVision, because it's going to be different writers, it's going to be
Right. Different. It's going to be different writers and a different vibe. And we got that. We totally got that.
Yeah.
But like, dude, like, you can't, for some reason, again, like, whatever chemistry, you know, Anthony and what's his face have.
Don't do Sebastian Stan like that.
Right. Like, honestly, I think one of the I don't know if there, you know, was a problem with the script. Like, if they had another script.
Yes. There was a problem with the script.
Was the script.
Okay, can I finish
the sentence?
Can I finish the sentence? Damn it. I don't know if there was, like, they had a different vision of what was going to happen in the show, and it just got train wrecked somewhere. But, or they was relying too much on the chemistry between Anthony and Sebastian and said, who cares about the fucking writing?
No, it's the first one. The script fucking sucked.
In my humble opinion.
I went into this show.
Let Melissa go.
I'll be real quick. In my humble opinion, the best part of this show was Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And
of course it was, you lesbian.
I have a type. Now, I call her one of my white queens. Yes, I watched it. And so I felt like we were going this whole, and I didn't want to go this whole conversation without us mentioning her. Because that's what this bitch was going to do.
Melissa.
I'm going to do.
Melissa.
Not staying a white queen.
This is my white queen.
She has a list of white queens.
Like, are you giving points to this show because of thirst? Because of thirst. Are you giving points to this show because of thirst?
I'm giving the 1 point.
Look at here. I don't understand how the show made Sebastian Stan unattractive to me, because I am in love with Sebastian Stan, but this show fucked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so like I will say, no, like the Sebastian, I feel like he looked a lot better here.
Yeah.
Than in Winter Soldier.
He did to me.
You didn't even see him in the Winter Soldier. You just saw the mask and the wig.
I like the long hair and the eyeliner in Winter Soldier.
I like both.
Give me like short hair, you know, kind of, you know, male.
Sebastian Stan is a beautifully chiseled European man. I don't.
And plus, they keep making his hair look greasy, but when you see him in real life, his hair don't look greasy long.
He has beautiful hair. No, they didn't make him look his hair look greasy in Black Panther, because again, he went to Wakanda and found out what shit. Anyway. Here's some pink oil.
Right. Like, here's some Shea moisturizer. Before the formula,
extra grease out your hair, because I don't know what they putting in your hair right now.
Anyway, Maria, what were you gonna say earlier?
So I went into the show with expectations it would not be as good as WandaVision, because it's a completely different kind of storytelling that we're doing here, and it'd be more on with Marvel's usual kind of pace, what they do with their movies. Mm-hmm. So fine, I'm down for that. I've seen all the Marvel movies. That's fine. What I did not expect the show to be was like completely and totally incompetent with its writing and like motivations for characters that don't make sense. And why doesn't Carly talk for the first two episodes? I don't understand what the choices we're making here. Like, even when Bucky goes on his on the first mission with Sam, like the motivation doesn't make any fucking sense.
He just kind of like barges in on the mission when normally he wouldn't do that.
For no reason. Not for any real reason. I guess he's bored. And then his therapist is a shit therapist. And then there's that whole scene where she's like, Sam, you come talk with us. I'm like, why would he do that? Why would he want to be there with his therapist? The thing with the therapist, especially that made me real mad with her, was when she pulls out her notepad or whatever, and he's like, oh, not the notepad again. Like, clearly this dude is triggered by the notepad, because the whole notepad thing with Hydra when they made him Winter Soldier. So mm-hmm. Like, could you just put it down? But no, she refuses.
Yeah,
don't like
so it. Like a lot of
also I'm sorry, I have a lot to say.
Go ahead, go ahead and finish.
Okay. And then the whole thing with Carly, like, I'm supposed to believe she's this villain. It doesn't work out because you're telling me a lot of things. You're not showing me these things. Zemo's out here saying she's a supremacist. When did that happen? And then the whole thing with breaking Zemo out in the beginning, the reason was weak sauce. There was really no reason to break Zemo out. Why are we closing in on the candy that Zemo's going to use to get the information from these kids if there's nothing wrong with the candy? Very strange choice. I was like, let's zoom on the gun in the first act and then never use it.
JP, what were you going to say?
Yeah, so the therapist thing, funny enough, I was watching different takes on a show and like from different veterans that was talking about this show. That is par for the course, apparently, with their therapists that they're given, that their therapists are just don't fucking care. They was like, we just want to get you back in the field. So,
yeah, I saw one veteran. She'd been doing like a lot of TikToks on the show. And she also was talking about, you know, her life as a veteran being in the Army. And she was saying, yeah, those therapist jobs, they're not there to get you well. They're there to get you back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the series was very lackluster.
I didn't get the chemistry. The jokes didn't land for me. I couldn't stand Sam's, what is racism shit? And always, I can make a call. No, the fuck you can't.
He made not one single call the entire series.
No. I'm like, dude, you could have called Rhodey. Like, what was this conversation with you and Rhodey at the beginning? And Rhodey was looking like, so you're not going to take the shield? Okay. All right. Call me when you decide you're going to do this shit. And so, you would think he would call him later in the show.
That conversation made me laugh because I was like, oh, y'all lost y'all white best friends. Here y'all together. This is great. Right.
But at least freaking Tony left him a goddamn the war machine.
Tony didn't leave nobody shit. Tony left Penny his business, Rhodey the war machine thing, and nobody else got shit.
Right.
Everybody his was daughter, broke.
And that was it.
Right. He was like, I got my two favorite people cool.
I mean,
everybody else, fuck y'all.
The population. So I guess he could be forgiven for making Lindsay in the will.
Like, what about Pepper? Pepper just gonna let it ride like that?
Hell yeah. Pepper didn't give a shit during the time that Tony was around. She definitely don't give a shit. She's just like, okay, right. I don't have to deal. We can stop? Okay, cool. I don't want to do nothing with this.
You know?
It's a show that I think it could have been better. It had so much writing for it. Like, we were ready for a really good show after WandaVision. Mm-hmm. We have bought into the Avenger universe, even after... I refuse to rewatch Age of Ultron so that I don't want to hate it because people are saying bad things.
I rewatched it. I liked it better than I did the first time.
And I feel like WandaVision, like the stuff that was missing in Age of Ultron was kind of addressed in WandaVision. Like they say about, okay, what happened to Wanda and why can't I remember his name?
Her brother?
Yeah.
Pietro.
I don't know why his name just left my brain. Like what happened to them when they was younger, and like they just kind of say it, they never show it. But at least in WandaVision, they kind of show what they went through before technically Age of Ultron happened. So
It just feels like this just wasted a bunch of goodwill. You even had, and I hate that I cannot remember her name right now, and that's gonna suck for me. But I loved her in Pariah. We underutilized her. We're wrong.
Shit, that was her. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't really use her for shit, really.
Wow, except this show sucks.
Nigga, you bugging.
Adaparo.
Yeah, shit. I forgot she was in the riot.
Right. Yeah. Shout out, I can't mention Pariah without again giving props to Kim Wayans for that dramatic role. I didn't realize she could do drama.
Oh yeah. Here's the thing. Side note, the Wayans is a lot of the Wayans is not all of them. there's no excuse for Sean, but a lot of the Wayans can actually act.
So wait, to be fair though. No, I'm sorry. No, you said Sean, not Marlon, because I was about to say.
Right.
Here's the thing. Marlon can act. Marlon can bring the drama when you need the drama.
That's true.
Like, they're dedicated to their comedy, so I'm going to let them do their comedy.
I want everybody to know that Deanna did rabbit ears when this bitch did comedy. You did. I saw it.
We don't need 17 Haunted House movies.
Hey man, hey.
The first one was fine. That's all we needed.
They weren't involved in like by four, I think.
We didn't need 50 11 Scream movies, but here we are. Like, let them get their coin.
That's true.
Let them ride. Put the Wayans through acting school.
It's only Sean that can't act.
Right. Who amongst us hasn't laughed at the cinematic tour de force of Little Man?
Melissa.
Why?
Hell, Melissa, you're going to hell.
Little Man was terrible.
Terrible. Now, mind you, I'll watch it, but it was terrible.
No, it was no, don't do that. But yeah, anyway, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I wish it was better.
I don't like Sam's costume.
I don't either. I'm like, I know it's supposed to be based on
it's supposed to be comic accurate.
Yeah, but yeah. They could have tweaked some shit.
My thing is, so
it doesn't look good on him.
No. And my thing with it is they did the whole thing where they're like, oh, Bucky got it from Wakanda, right? So like, I know that we like to bring the comic stuff into the movies. However, the movies are their own universe. New things are going to happen. So if he got it from Wakanda, why ain't that shit Wakanda fly? Why is that shit?
Thank you.
They could fit Black Panther's entire costume into a necklace. Why is he over here looking like the Michelin Man?
That's the same thing I said. And the argument we had was because the king gets that. You commoners don't get that shit.
But Black Panther isn't always the king, though. Because T'Challa was the Black Panther before he became king, before T'Chaka died.
Right, but the Black Panther is the national hero for Wakanda.
That's true.
Whether he's the king or not, he's still their national hero.
So for me, it feels like that. Sure, when Bucky came back, Bucky went to Iowa and was like, "Can you make a suit for my friend Sam?" Because blah blah blah, and they were like, "Oh yeah, they helped us with the Thanos thing for sure." And then Shuri was making the outfit, and Shuri was like, "Americans like that red, white, and blue shit. I'm about to paint this shit. Look at this. Ayo. Look at this dumb shit. Right.
I bet he go wear it.
He's gonna match his stupid shield. Look at that.
And quite frankly, he is Black Captain America to me, just because I know it gets on his fucking nerves.
See, and that's the thing. Okay, so like, because you know my argument with the whole series is why they keep calling this nigga Black Falcon. He's the only Falcon. He's just the Falcon. And everybody was like, well, it's because he used to be called the Black Falcon. And my thing is, it was stupid then too. In the comics, he was called the Black Falcon. Yeah, and that was dumb.
Right, but he's not in the movie.
20 years ago.
Right, but he was never called that in the movies. He was never called that in the TV. Like, that was, he even says in the TV show, he's like, why are you calling me that? Like, that's never been a thing. Stop it.
And my thing is, and then also, it's a lack of understanding about how Black people talk to each other. Because it's not, if it's just the Falcon's Black. Like, we're not going to call him Black Falcon unless there's another Falcon. Right. We will call him Black Captain America, because the last two Captain Americas we saw were white dudes. So now it's like, oh, you know Black. Oh, I can't wait to see Captain America. Captain America who? You know, Black Captain America. Oh, okay.
If there was another Falcon, we'd be like, why are we calling him Black Falcon? Why don't we call the other Falcon White Falcon?
Right. I would say that Black folks will call him Black Falcon if they know get on, like, if they cool and they know get on his nerves.
That's true. But there would be no reason for us to call him that in the first place, though, unless he came through with that I don't believe in racism bullshit. Then we'd be like, oh, really, Black Falcon?
It would have made more sense with Isaiah's grandson calling him Black Falcon, because he was being, you know, he was giving him an attitude like, no, you can't see my granddaddy, Black Falcon. Like,
you know who'll be a great Black Falcon? Van Jones.
You know what? All right. No, well, this, welcome to the last episode of Nerdgasm Noir.
From Melissa.
Y'all mad because I'm right.
No.
No.
So what's the next show line? Oh, okay. If Sam is officially Captain America now, and that's, I swear to God, I hope they update that suit, because it does not look good on him.
They need to make it look better.
Yeah.
Get rid of the headpiece where it's like this, it's like a not quite helmet.
Make it a helmet.
At least adjust it. Like,
it's just it's real ugly.
So another thing that kind of pissed me off, I don't know if it was one of the showrunners or one of the producers, whoever the fuck it was talking about, they wanted to make sure that at the end of the series that we like John Walker. Why?
The director said
he tried to give him that little redemptive moment.
The director
The director? Who? Then why? Okay, this dude literally beat someone to death with the shield, and we're supposed to like him at the end?
Wait, no. Because the comments said, well, Captain America kills people all the time. Sam killed people all the time. So why y'all mad that John Walker killed one person?
Do we see them kill them?
No. See, I didn't even make that argument. The argument I made was they kill people in self-defense.
They don't chase a nigga down the street just to hit him with the shields.
And then lie about why they killed him later.
Yeah, so the dude literally said, I give up, I surrender. And you kept beating him.
And it wasn't me.
The argument is because he's a bad guy, it doesn't matter.
How was he a bad guy, though?
He was with the Flag Smashers.
I don't believe.
And again, the Flag Smashers.
They're the bad guys in
this series. That's another thing that the show really messed up on is they made the bad guys people who were the disenfranchised people, which doesn't make sense because and then also the big flip with Carly where all of a sudden she's blowing up buildings full of people now that doesn't make sense for her characterization because.
It would have made more sense.
Hold up.
If the super soldier serum that she used was making her more erratic, that would have made more sense.
But the thing about it is in the show, the only person who they showed it was making them erratic was John Walker.
John Walker, right.
But this, okay, so wait, time out, hold on, pause. Whoever wrote that you didn't think Lamar's life mattered line, I need to see you in the street. We need to fight because I fucking
hate it. Yeah, that pissed me off.
Dear writers of TV, if you're writing TV shows, if you're writing movies, if you're writing radio plays, stage plays, street plays, I don't give a fuck. Nobody is allowed to do any variation of Black Lives Matter anything anymore because you're terrible at it. Everyone is terrible at it. Stop it. Fucking stop it. Stop it. I'm over it. Because you're doing it terribly.
Can we talk about Lamar? Because what the fuck?
What, like, why?
Battlestar?
You mean the Black best friend?
Yeah.
The third Black best friend on this 6-episode show. You got to be fucking kidding. The third dark-skinned Black best friend on this 6-episode show. You got to be fucking kidding me. And he just sort of used him like a Rosetta Stone shit. Hey, Lamar, I don't understand what this nigga just said. Come and tell me real quick.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Because naturally, you speak all the languages. You don't speak shit.
Right.
You got in America.
Right. And then, he was the only one that's pretty much was when John Walker was going off the deep end, he's like, okay, dude, you're going to have to calm the fuck down. Why is he the voice of reason? If he's the voice of reason, but you're supposed to be Captain America.
Not only that, but...
because he is this magical refrigerated Negro.
Exactly. Why did he have to... My thing is...
Every superhero has to have their sidekick Negro.
But here's the thing. He didn't have to die for John Walker. That's another reason why I'll never forgive John Walker.
Right.
this is another reason why I'll never forgive John Walker. Because y'all had... First of all, what Black ass high school did John Walker go to?
Yeah, I was like, this does not compute.
No, I've seen the white kids at the Black high schools, but they would be they don't end up like John Walker. They don't end up with that level of blind patriotism.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jamie. You're trying to say something?
I just wanted to know why it was important to have his character somehow redeem himself in the final episode.
Right. John Walker's?
Yeah.
Yeah, why was it?
Because he becomes the assassin at the end, so you have to want to see him in the next thing.
We don't, but you don't need to redeem him for us to want to see him. He was a great bad guy.
I will give you that, JP. I really did hate that nigga.
Yeah, I hated him.
Good job at that. They did a great job.
I want to see him repeatedly get his face punched at.
So for me, like, I think someone, I'm paraphrasing, but someone tweeted that Captain America, or like, what's Captain America's real name? I'm blanking out. It's horrible.
Steve Rogers?
John Walker?
So Steve Rogers is what America thinks it is.
And John Walker is what America actually is. Yeah. Right. No, like, this is valid. I thought
that was so on point, because that's exactly who John Walker is. Right down to, like, the, you know, very last minute when, you know, again, his black sidekick is telling him chill and calm down, and dude's like, nah, fuck that, which results in him losing his best friend, and then he has to avenge his death and go half-cocked, and then somehow, some way, he gets, again, this, you know, chance to come through at the end and, you know, help. It's like, nah, fuck that. So I'm like, this is why, how did we get here? Oh, because of you. So
with his light-skinned black wife. So.
Oh God.
A black.
How do you even have her? She did nothing.
Like, I mean, like, they love a racially ambiguous bitch, don't they? Like, I just, it's adorable.
Actually, I was actually
only light-skinned in her dark-skinned family.
I was actually very shocked that they let Sam's sister be darker than a brown paper bag.
Right, because I mean, you know how it usually goes down. So I was just like, when I found that she was in the cast, I'm like, oh, okay.
She gonna die.
right. That's what I'm like. I swear to God, if anything happens, especially when Carly gave her the call, I was like, I swear to God, they killed Sam's sister. I am done with this fucking.
Which also didn't make sense to me.
No, it didn't.
So Carly's going to call and lightweight threaten Sam's sister and nephews for what now? Because again, we have this whole, you know, like, we made it very clear about, you know, how we see, like, where we stood, you know, in regards to violence. Like, there was a whole exchange between her and Sam in which she made it, you know, and again, it added, you know, more depth to her character that could have been used earlier on. Mm-hmm. And
this whole script was a mess, because like her behavior was so erratic, and it was like, that's what I'm like, I feel like there was pages that was missing that people forgot to put back in.
Yeah. Well, I know there was that whole thing with the plague storyline that they cut out, because like on the first mission with Bucky and Sam, they're stealing vaccines and they never really tell you why they're stealing vaccines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have Mama Donia dying from tuberculosis, which is a very
right.
Tuberculosis still kills a lot of people in poor countries.
It does. That's but true. They're not like.
But they're in a refugee camp.
I know they're in a refugee camp, but we're stealing vaccines, but we can't get anything from Mama Donia.
Because if she's already got tuberculosis, the vaccine's not going to help.
No, but what I'm saying is, we're not tying these together. Why are these, you know, what happened to those vaccines?
Yeah. Right. It's like, I feel like it was another storyline that they had to drop, probably a plague. And it just, that's why this whole script doesn't make any fucking, the whole show doesn't make
sense. No, it doesn't make any sense, because whoever, the writer did a terrible job. Let's stop cutting that nigga some slack.
He's doing Captain America for you guys.
Oh God.
It's not gonna make sense then too. So
I'm sorry.
His job before this was doing
Empire.
Was show with Cookie? Empire.
I'm sorry.
I have a question. I had to pause the last episode because I came to the realization that the GRC, were they putting the people who became undusted back into their original homes?
Yes.
Yes.
That makes no economic sense whatsoever. What country?
We're like, well, where do you expect them to go? They lived there all their lives. Now you're suddenly living in their house. So they have to go back to their home.
Yeah. It's been five years.
But again, like, I mean, to be fair though, I feel like it's a realistic portrayal of what's considered good government, right? Like, we, like, because we're so short-sighted, like, for the most part, government bodies politicians, people are so short-sighted that they look at this shit, you know, instead of searching for better long-term solutions to the problem, mm-hmm. you know, for them it's as simple as just putting it back.
But that doesn't even make sense because the people are there. You didn't have to move. The simplest solution is just, bitch, take the next house next door. It's been empty for 5 years.
but this points to like global bureaucracy in that instead of taking what would be a common sense, you know, like straight line to the solution, we're going to go all the way around and create more problems.
But also. But also one of the things I think that the show, what the thing that the show does incorrectly is it frames government as just being a bureaucratic problem and
instead
not
of being violent one.
And yeah, instead of a giant violent systemic yes. problem. Because one of the issues, one of the things that the Flag Smashers were like, okay, like we don't like when all of those people left, borders changed. Some went away, so like these people have started new cultures now, and so now you're basically coming back and being like, nope, just kidding, everything needs to go back to the way it was before. You can't just do that because you're trying to cling to this normalcy. And what bothers me about that in this show is that the show is supposed to be about race but is not addressing the big systemic problem right there. Like if it's systemic racism, there's systemic other things, and hey, look, this is the big thing you're ignoring.
And then also, I'm sorry. Well,
go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was just saying, like for me, like the big part where I rolled my eyes the most was at the end when Sam is giving the big speech after he's, girl, look.
That's exactly what I was about to bring up.
I wish a rousing speech would, you know, do what they wanted that to
you
do.
You would just hear me in the background going, boo, shut this nigga up. Wrap it up.
Shoot him.
Why
just
y'all keep letting this nigga talk?
It's like, oh, so we just don't steal Carly's speech and suddenly y'all can hear it and now you care?
Like it was so insulting, like for me, and I get it. Like we want to sort of, you know, put a nice bow on this turd. But it does not work. We know that rousing speeches don't work because we've seen what happens.
Because the headline would have been GRC committee ignores Captain America.
Like, I mean, like for real, yeah, like if they wanted that realism, like real talk, if this had been a real interaction, that white man would have left his black ass mid-sentence. He just would have walked away. Like, I don't even know why we're doing this. Like, it's just insulting.
And plus, someone that came up to him like, yeah, that's supposed to be our shield.
Right, I mean, we don't need that back. Can we get that back? Also, you're under arrest for destroying property or destruction of property.
Right.
Like, I get it. Like, you save a lot of people, but this is a lot of property.
But they didn't ask you to save them, so.
Right, we didn't ask you to save them, so you gotta go to jail.
Like, the only way the GRC situation makes any sense is if they were relocating people if the wealthy people came back and they're the ones who are going back into their original homes because, you know, they're wealthy. And we know how the government.
I think that's exactly probably what happened.
Yeah, but the thing about it is again, like I said before, you have the show that's supposed to be talking about these systemic problems and it just ignores that part of it. Like, that's something that you would be like, oh, this is funded by the wealthy people that left and came back and their money is still around.
It's a very all lives matter approach.
Uh-huh.
All lives matter and capitalism is still good.
Right. Even then it doesn't, because the money isn't still around. 5 years have passed. Your shit's been inherited by somebody else, absorbed by some company, absorbed by some bank, lost in the stock market. You ain't got shit.
Yeah, but you have the, like, Elon Musk's money went to whatever his child's name is, which means
Jaya, H-12.
Yeah, which means that what's her face is the conservator, since that baby's still a baby, and then Elon Musk comes back in 5 years, and she's like, okay, it goes back to my husband.
Right, but he can just move back in with his wife.
Anyway,
it's fascinating.
It's how I just
also, How does Isaiah get a part in the museum, but he's supposed to be dead, but he's visiting the museum?
Here's the thing that makes me mad. Isaiah told you to leave him the fuck alone. Why are you putting me in a museum, nigga? I said leave me alone.
And he's emotional about it.
My man was very
Because 5 seconds after a cut, Isaiah turned to Sam and beat the shit out of that nigga. I told you to leave me alone.
Right, like, thank you for this hug, nigga, but I told you, right? We did have, okay.
This goes back to the script, not that just telling and not showing, because like, we're supposed to believe that he faked his death. Okay, fine. He told us he faked his death and that maybe he's under another assumed name, whatever. But dude, like it's such a mess.
This, right. I took this as what white people think, how to fix racism. If you just acknowledge the problem,
want, right.
And that
goes away.
That's the extent of it. Like, okay, this bad thing happened, but I mean, you're still alive, right? You're breathing. So, I mean, we're done here, right? How about I give you an edible arrangement? Would that work?
What would have been more realistic is if he would have came to that museum, saw that, and he's like, Negro,
What would have been more realistic is if when Sam proposes to them that you put this in the museum, they're like, what for? We don't know who that is. Who? What happened? We don't acknowledge that.
Exactly.
Like, who is this guy? Are you sure he was
that's why he's one statue in a corner that ain't nobody going to look at anyway.
But he's supposed to be really overwhelmed with emotion and, you know, finally have this moment.
Because now no one will forget.
Yeah,
no
one literally right after that scene cuts is when Isaiah turns
the SWAT team comes in to take his ass back to fucking jail.
And everyone will forget. Everyone will forget.
Oh my God, that last episode was such a fucking mess. It makes no sense.
Mm-mm. Like, he owes me. They owe me. Like, shorty, what's your price?
What's the next Disney Marvel show? What's the next Disney Marvel?
Loki's coming next. Okay. Loki looks like it might actually be interesting because it looks like it's not taking itself seriously.
And it might be less confusing even though it's going through different timelines.
Yeah, also, we have Wumi Misaka and Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
So yeah, that's true. That. No, but I'm not getting my hopes up about that because I swear to God, they're going to do something to Wumi that makes me go, fuck this entire, fuck you as a label, as a franchise.
And a motherfucking crew.
One of the things that I saw on the internet is, okay, so here's the thing, especially on Twitter. I felt like I was the only person that was not, well, no, there was a divide on who liked the show. I saw that a lot of Black men liked the show and a lot of Black women did not.
Of course they did.
No expectations.
My timeline was a little bit more split. I saw more Black women who liked the show as well with the Black men.
Really?
Yes, my timeline was a little more split. I was shocked. I had to rethink some of those follows, actually.
Because the amount of Black men I saw that liked it, I was like, okay, I can kind of see it because it's kind of got like a male power fantasy thing with Sam. All right, I see why you're into this. Whatever. But like, yeah, like I hardly saw any Black women that were like, oh yeah, this, I can't wait to tune into this every week. Every Black woman I saw who watched the show was like, why? Why is this happening? What is happening? Huh?
My timeline was like, okay, let me watch this next episode to see what other mess that they're gonna do right now.
Everybody who didn't like the show kept expecting it to get better. Like, maybe I'm gonna give it time and maybe in the end it'll wrap itself up.
And like, it was a split, okay, between Black women, Black men that liked the aspect of race that was put in, but some was like, okay, I understand this one-on-one bullshit that y'all doing, but can we get past that?
And there was also the folks who were like not understanding the whole Bella Milaje.
They weren't even super soldiers. And so the fuck?
So literally that is my thing. But Sam and Bucky told you, hey, super soldiers ain't got shit on the Dora Milaje. Like, literally, Bucky, you know who they had watch Bucky when he was still mind controlled in Wakanda to make sure that he didn't hurt nobody? The Dora fucking Milaje. So of course they can beat your ass up. Like, I don't know what you thought was gonna fucking happen, my dude.
Like, there wasn't even super soldiers.
They don't have to be.
They don't have a
trick. You just suck.
They're just bad bitches. Like, that's what they do.
Right.
They probably know how to fight people who have super strength all the time. Like, shit, it was a whole comic about how Steve was trying to go up into Wakanda and Black Panther whooped his ass. So...
And the thing about it is like, it reminds me of that line from the Black Panther movie where Okoye. I just put Okoye and Aurora together.
We know what ship she's thinking about.
Let me get on AO3 right quick. When Okoye was like, I'm here to protect the throne, no matter who's on the throne. I have a feeling that the Dor Milaje are there to protect Wakanda as a kingdom, right? The throne, but Wakanda as a kingdom. So yeah, they know the threats. They know there are superpowered people out there. So they're prepared for that.
Yeah.
I will say there was a missed
opportunity. They have everything made of vibranium.
Right. I was just going to say that there was a missed opportunity in the Falcon and Winter Soldier when Carly told Sam to stay down. Mm. And instead, he didn't say, I can do this all day, the same way Steve Rogers does.
Yeah. Oh.
That was a missed opportunity right there.
They had so many callbacks to, like, the Winter Soldier movie.
That was a prime missed opportunity right there.
That was
low hanging fucking fruit.
Yeah. So, are you guys excited about Captain America 4?
No, none of it's the same writer for this show.
Yeah. I'm surprised at how disappointed in the show I was because. Yeah, I don't know, but alas, it happened.
And a lot of people were like, "You keep comparing it to WandaVision," and I was like, "No."
Now, I'll probably have Disney Plus forever, so I'll watch Captain America 4 when it's available free streaming, like for all the regular peoples on Disney Plus. I'm not paying $20-$30.
Oh no,
that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So, but it just goes to show that when they put out WandaVision, thinking it was going to be worse than Falcon and Winter Soldier, thinking it's going to be worse than Loki.
They thought Falcon and the Winter Soldier was their
Yeah,
because they were thinking, okay, well, it's the continuation of Captain America. Everybody's going to want to be there for the Captain America part. So we'll put WandaVision first. So that way we just get it out of the way. Then we'll do that. Then we'll do the Loki thing to set up for whatever's going on in the next, because basically it looks like the Black Widow movie. Loki is setting up the Black Widow movie because there is a scene in the trailer where you see Loki and Black Widow talking.
Why so
is that
Black Widow movie? Well, so they can keep
up. Wait, is it just you see the pickup of some red curly hair? Because that could be Femme Loki.
Femme Loki still has black hair.
Hold on.
Yeah, Femme Loki always has black hair.
Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to come out first.
Right, but it wasn't dark black. That's why I was like, it looked like the lighting made.
Nah, it's supposed that's supposed to be Black Widow because it's the same outfit. Like people do like the stills and stuff. So I'm thinking Loki is setting up something for Black Widow.
Okay.
I'm not saying that she's coming back to life, but I'm saying they're setting up, like, because it's the whole time travel thing. So, like, his thing is the whole time travel thing. So they're setting her up, and then the movie is going to go over her past or whatever, you know? But we'll see. Anyway, I wish the show would have been better, but it wasn't. I mean, nothing I can do about it.
This is where we are, man. So,
yep. This is where
they were going to release this show before WandaVision.
Yeah, they should have, because then.
But they ended up. Like having to do, I don't know, reshoots and reconfigurations or whatever.
How tragic.
That explains why in some scenes Winter Soldier looked buff and then in some scenes he looked skinny as hell.
Because
I remember watching it being like, he was, usually they make them bulk up before they do this and yeah. Sebastian Stan looks mighty thin. What happened? It's probably reshoots. Tis what it is. All right, ladies. That's basically it.
Do you guys have anything?
I have any other topics?
A lot of time talking about Nigger Bird and that white guy.
Nigger Bird and the snowman.
Burr.
Like, burr. Burr. I see gang.
Ah. That boy.
All right.
It's getting cold in here.
That's the rough album we need. Right there.
All right. Yeah, I guess that's everything. So, oh yeah, outros. I'm gonna have everybody tell every. Thank you for listening. You know what? There was a time when I knew what how to do a podcast. Thank you everybody for listening. We very much appreciate it. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerdgasm Noir. We also have a Discord that you can join. If you follow our Twitter or go to our Twitter, the link is there to join the Discord, because it's a bunch of random numbers and I can't think of those right now. And I'm gonna have everybody
tweets out every day.
Yeah, it tweets out every day, every other day, something like that. But yeah, you'll know. But I'm gonna have everybody let you know where you can find them, starting with Jamie.
I'm at the Way of the Id on Insta. And Twitter. I'm in your liquor cabinet at home.
On your granddaddy's lap.
On your grandfather's lap, because I love me a silver fox.
Speaking of which, Ricky Martin.
Right. I was about to say. As my day job, I write, so you can find me at or find my articles at blockclubchicago.com or something. Org.com. I don't know. I'm old. Just Google me. I don't know.
Just Google her, because she is famous.
She Nobody. Is famous.
Jaming is famous.
And Maria?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Valar More Dollars. That's VALARMOR Dollars.
And JP?
So I guess you can find me on Twitter at Istis, ISITIS. And I guess you can find me on Reclaimers on INDG Twitch channel every Sunday at, okay, I don't know. It's like, what's it, 8 p.m. Central? It's
8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you, because I don't remember time zones. So,
yeah, the zones of time.
Right. And that's it. I'm not famous like Jamie.
No, but I'm not famous.
You are. All right, Melissa.
What up?
Where can people find you?
In these streets.
That's right. I know that's right.
Really, Jamie?
I'm not in the streets, so...
Oh, but no, for real, I stay at home. You can find me on the Twitters at Curvy Black Geek. And sometimes once a month, you can find me on Smut Book Club, where we talk about books that aren't just smut, but mostly smut, though.
I mean, and if you like her discussions on smutty books, you should send her DoorDash, like, gift cards.
Bruh. Send me DoorDash gift cards. I promise I won't go wild with it. I will order it twice in one day again. Please. And thank you.
And Storm, where can people find you?
Nowhere. I'm nowhere. And they everywhere. Can't.
Nowhere and everywhere.
They She's cannot.
In the ether.
And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Nani Cool J, also on Instagram at Nani Cool J, but I don't post there as much. You can find me on Sundays on Reclaimers with JP. They also have a Twitter account. We also have a Twitter account, because I'm there too. I don't understand why I keep using they with things that I am a part of. But we have a Twitter account for Reclaimers. It's at Reclaimers RPG on Twitter.
And I promise you, we're fun.
Yeah. No, we're fun on Sundays. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah. The Reclaimers game is on the I Need Diverse Games Twitch channel, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Oh my God, one of these days we have to play a tabletop game again.
Oh, here?
Yes.
I mean, we can. I think we should. It's going to be, I already know who's going to be a problem.
You?
Not me. Melissa's going to be a problem because she's not going to know the rules. And she's going to get bored in about 5 minutes. And she's going to be like, all right, well, I'm going to go do this. And she's going to come back. And she's going to come back and be like, wait, what happened? Yes. Jamie's going to be a problem because she's going to be drinking.
Wow.
Storm.
Oh, we will probably have to find the most.
Storm is going to be a problem because she knows the rules, but she don't want to do that. She want to do something else.
Okay.
Why maybe, can't I do this?
Maybe because the, you cannot. You can do is like the honey heist. Maybe we should just do honey heist or something like that.
Honey heist would be good. We'll think about it. Well, also, you're looking at me like that, Storm. You're looking at me, Storm, but you know I'm right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, and then my character wins the game. And like, you can't do that. Why not?
There's no winning in RPGs, Storm. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. And I don't want to play.
Storm is going to lure it out. She's going to be like, well, by the rules, it says this. And we're like, okay, Storm, you know what? Fine, just do it.
No, Storm is going to be like, where's the part where I get to shoot somebody in the face?
In the face.
How come I can't shoot nobody in the face? There's no shooting in this game? Oh, nah, I don't want to play. Yeah, that's everything. Goodbye.
This is the outro.
I didn't hit the stop recording fast enough.
This is outro that scripts up. This is the outro that scripts up. That scripts up.
Outro song.
Will expectations.
Hey.
Expectations.
Expectations. Because we're done, right? If y'all see these pictures, is this Ricky Martin?
Yes.
The gray beard?
Yes.
What the fuck is happening?
Being attractive. That is what's happening.
He's had a resurgence in hot.
I don't know if it's a resurgence.
But I'm here for whatever this is.
I mean, he always been hot. This is just...
Yeah, but he was keeping it low-key for a little bit. For a while, he was just like,
even off the scene.
I look like your slightly attractive... your friend's slightly attractive uncle, right? And then, like, now, it's like, ooh, sir, you like men. Don't do this to me.
This is rude.
Yes, he said he likes men, but, you know, he'll dabble in something else if, you know...
Like, yeah, this out... You know, his mouth says I like men. This outfit says I'm flexible.
The words out his mouth said, you know, I like men, but if somebody outside of a man gets my interest, I would not say no to it. I was like,
hold on, this calls for a hold on.